Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
To a
hello, bro. Yeah, you.
Double or nothing.
No. Goodbye.
We're doing this again.
Remember when I talked to you in Baltimore? We did a podcast in the middle of the convention. I left Funaki for you. Left Funaki, who I have to buy a phone case for, by the way, because he's trading his Green Bay Packers because Aaron Rodgers decided to come to New York. I left Funaki to host this podcast with you, and what did I tell you? That this is a Kimmy Takeover podcast, and you're going to try to overthrow me on my show?
I mean, first of all, the takeaway I got from that is, how is Aaron Rodgers on the Jets? That's a story for another day. What world are we living in? Someone changed the timeline. That being said, apparently Kimmy's hosting today. Kimmy, it's all yours. Go ahead. Congratulations on graduating, by the way.
There were tweets, posts. Did you not follow? Of course you didn't. Who's shocked? I'm not. Hi! Welcome to the Kimmy Takeover Pod. If you see my name on this, I'm leaving in 8 hours for Las Vegas. I'll be a double or nothing, which is why I'm hosting this. But yeah, I'm Kimmy. Cool. Okay, so now I had to bring really, really fun people on to talk about Double or Nothing with me. So our first guest is our favorite guest coming back to the BCP, and he is from the Warren Hayes Show. Hi, Warren!
Oh, when you said you invited fun people to come talk about AEW, I was like, oh, I got excited. I'm like, who's coming on? Holy smokes. Jeez. Thank you, Kimmy, for the invitation. Hello, everyone. Rob, Bill, it's very nice to be here again. Always a pleasure to drop by the old, I don't know how to call this anymore, though, because every time I come on, do you do the takeovers only when I come on, Kimmy?
I do them every show.
Oh, you do them every show now. Okay, so suddenly I feel less special.
I mean, we could change that for you if you'd like. I could talk to Rob. I mean, this isn't his show anymore anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to be here on the Kimmy Pod. The Kimmy Pod?
We'll go with that. Kimmy Culture.
Kimmy Culture.
Kimmy Culture Podcast, KCP. Okay.
Fantastic. All right, good.
Awesome. So the next person, he is the editor-in-chief for thepopbreak.com, a BCP OG, and the main reason I graduated with a 3.9 GPA this past semester. Hi, Bill.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? It's Kimmy taking over the BCP.
Love it.
All right, what's up, guys? I'm like, that's not as much energy as you're getting out of me this one, so
that was retired. That was like the greatest mashup of In Living Color and Creedence Clearwater Revival I've ever heard.
That's any song ever I sing. It's those two. I got nothing else. That's it. Except I get drunk and sing Enter Sandman, then just lock the children away, because it's very scary.
Sounds like a good time.
It is.
Okay. Cool, I guess. And Rob's here. He plays drums, and he sometimes hosts this show. I usually take over. Hi.
Hey, Kimmy. Thank you for taking over, guys. Thanks for joining us. Shameless promo, let us know, guys, who you have in the chat. We'll have some fun talking Double or Nothing. I'm so excited. Warren and Bill and Kimmy are here. I'm a little tired. I'm a sleepyhead, but I'm excited to talk to you guys. Let's do it.
It's mostly because Rob had to deal with me for 4 hours on Monday as we commentated Warriors Wrestling. That's why.
Very fair.
Just ask Vicky to make you an espresso and wake you up a little bit.
I think she's doing a podcast over there too. So you know how it is. Just
double podcasting. That's sleep. Interesting.
Adultery.
You want to sleep? I'm not start. Going to.
Oh boy.
So we have to do our reads. I'm going to be Excalibur for about 2 minutes here, guys. Yay. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online at the Englishtown, New Jersey Flea Market. And the BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, our new sponsor for the month. Hi, welcome. The No Gimmicks Podcast is a pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. And that's about it. Let's talk about Double or Nothing. And if you didn't get anything from this, I'll be there live. Thank you, AEW. So, well, I have some questions before we get there, because tonight we found out that Collision is taking place at the United Center. So what's everyone's thoughts on Collision? Is it good? Is it bad? Do we like a brand split? Warren, I'm starting with you because I already know Bill's thoughts on this.
Like overall on the Collision show, what, listen, I mean, there's a lot of bending over backwards here going on to try and accommodate all of these people who really don't want to work with each other anymore. Look, frankly, I'm trying to see the glass half full in the situation here. I will never complain in regards to more wrestling content on television. I think like for years we've been, you know, pigeonholed into one thing. Now we're getting more and more. But when you think about it, and you know, feel free to correct me, anyone here who thinks about it, I don't remember in any other time in history where we have had, where we're going to have potentially every week, 7 days a week where there is major league televised pro wrestling. Let's say on Sunday nights you get the pay-per-views, right? Let's say. I know WWE does the PLEs on Saturdays now mostly, but you know, I mean, Monday, right? Raw, Tuesday, NXT, Wednesday, Dynamite, Thursday, Impact, Friday, SmackDown, Saturday, Collision. I mean, like, and then people are going to tell me, oh, wrestling is just for hardcores. It's for weirdos. But we're, like, there's legitimately wrestling on every night of the week. You're not going to tell me that wrestling is still this very, very niche, very precise, little tiny thing when networks are bidding billions of dollars to get the rights to it.
Billions.
So no, that's what I'm most excited about. You know, I'm sure, you know, we've all discussed in our own time and so on and so forth, the political implications and CM Punk and all of this. I'm actually excited that Tony Khan tonight, when we're recording this, right, is after Dynamite. So, I'm actually excited that Tony Khan came out and say, hey, we're doing this in Chicago, by the way. So finally, you know, it's like good, because I think they do need to start selling tickets for this thing first and foremost. And I think the more they get into this, to the idea that Collision is actually going to be a CM Punk show, a CM Punk vehicle, they're actually going to start selling tickets at the other shows, because frankly, they're not selling great. You know, they're really not doing good business right now. Last time I checked via WrestleTix, like the Hamilton show in Ontario, the ones that they announced last week, like under 600 tickets sold. And that's the Collision that is being recorded on the Thursday on the day after a Dynamite. So it's like they need, and they're not doing great in Newark. They're not doing great. They sold like 3,000 tickets at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. The Saddle Dome is a hockey venue. There's like 19,000 seats. Like, you know, they need to go into overdrive for this if they want this to be the big summer that I think AEW wants it to be.
Well, we all know based on the poster, it's the I Hate Tony Khan Club. Rob, what do you think?
Dude, I just love listening to Warren talk, man. Most of the Collision
stuff.
So
do I.
Yeah. Most of the Collision stuff, I heard, obviously, Tony made the formal announcement tonight, but I was listening to Warren's show this afternoon. Obviously, guys, go check out Mr. Warren Hayes, subscribe, 5 stars. But I learned more from Warren, you know, obviously, than from what Tony Khan said, and I think we all know what's going to come about from this. As far as the ticket things, and I am not knocking the product or the performers or anything like that, I love watching AEW. I try not to miss it every single week. I love some of the performers. I love that independent style. I love seeing the people from the independents here in the Northeast are just taking over the pro wrestling world. It's so cool to see. But if I'm calling it down the middle, yeah, Connecticut, Prudential Center, Atlantic City, like maybe lower level full, like floor full, lower level full-ish, upper level empty. That being said, full gear at Prudential sold out completely. Mm-hmm. You know, so just calling it like it is. Hopefully this will just be good for AEW and the business moving forward.
And if I can just add to that before we move on to Bill, because like you said, you know, it's not necessarily a question of the talent. I think this is a question of, you know, the general public, the general, you know, unconnected wrestling fan public who don't see the value in Collision yet. You know, maybe for them, it's like, oh, this is this another Rampage? What is this? I want to go see Dynamite. Dynamite is the big show. Dynamite's the flagship. That's the one you want to pay the big bucks to go see. What is Collision at this point? We have no idea. Warner Bros. Announced it last week on a business-oriented, you know, they did this for marketers. They did this for their, for their salespeople to go sell ads. So it's not for you and me and Joe, John Q. Public and Joe Beef to start watching. It's
had a hell of a run in the, like, the Maritime era back when Dino Bravo was running that thing.
Oh no, exactly. I mean, you know, his finisher was the slapper. It was fantastic. You know, it wasn't for everyone. So it's a very niche announcement as it stands so far. So Collision was announced last week by Tony Khan, and you can go like, okay, what is this about? And we still don't know what this is about. And we won't know until the guy comes back, really. Otherwise, it's just another show. And there's no, right now, Dynamite is the flagship. It's a, to a degree, it's a victim of its own success. Everyone says, oh, Collision can be another A show. Well, that's what they said about Rampage too. So I don't know. That's why I was happy that he announced it was in Chicago. I was convinced he was going to announce CM Punk tonight because he needs to sell tickets. They need to start moving. They start moving numbers because right now it's just on announcing a new show. It's not doing it.
Unless
I don't blame anyone for not buying tickets. Sorry.
Unless CM Punk. No, it's fine. Unless CM Punk comes out Sunday after the main event, that could be something.
Which would make sense. Like, anyway. Yeah.
Bill.
I think I don't know if it's as much with Collision as much as I just want to pontificate and proliferate about CM Punk right now and how I think the story is brilliant, because everyone will say, because most likely this, everything that's happening is legit and it's everyone hates each other and it's a thing. But I'd like to not be a glass half full guy. I want to be a glass full guy. Because I feel like we are now, because just based on stuff I'm seeing report from Fightful, seeing from Nick Hausman's new thing, House of Wrestling, I think this whole thing between Punk and the Elite and everyone has been solved for a long time. And I've been saying this and mentioning this, and people look at me like I just like did something wrong when I was a kid, and my mom be like, William Potkin, what are you doing? How do you work a smart audience? You can't. You can't work a smart audience. So what you do is you take every weakness that AEW has. And what are those? CM Punk's a bad guy. Tony Khan doesn't know how to run a show. No secrets can be kept. The backstage is chaos. You play all that up. And we saw the template of this already put in play with FTR. FTR is like, hey, brother, we're thinking of going. We're going to go back to Hunter. And or maybe we're going to stay. Or maybe we'll do the indies. Or maybe we'll just, you know, try and somehow become Bret Hart's kids. You know, let's figure it out. And guess what? They ended up staying. And I had someone on this podcast telling me for months, bro, they're signed. They're not going anywhere. But even though I had that insider information, they had me a little bit. I'm like, maybe they're not going to sign. Maybe this is bullshit. I think this thing with Punk has been cleared for the longest time. And I think they are using all this advantage to people be like, you know what? He's not coming back. Tony Khan's an idiot. Like, everyone's like, it's all chaos. Everything's bad. It's bad. And then all of a sudden it's like, but maybe he is coming back. And now we had this doubt. But now, oh shit, is he going to show up? And I bet you between now and June 16th, it's going to ebb and flow. It's like something's going to come out. Oh, maybe Punk's not coming back. Oh, he's got to sign paperwork. Oh, this guy's mad. Oh, that guy's mad. By the way, I do think John Moxley was legit pissed off. That guy I don't think works anything. And he's just like, he called him what's his dicks. You got call someone that. You do not like them. But I think this whole thing with the Bucks and Jericho and stuff, everyone that has talked about this has been from that group. Brandon Cutler saying about gaslighting, Britt Baker saying something. You notice it's not like Samoa Joe saying anything. You notice it's not like Matt Hardy. Well, he chimes in a little bit, but like, it's not a lot of people chiming. It's select people that are saying things and planting seeds and misinformation. And I think this is the modern work. And I think this is what's going to get people excited for Punk coming back. And like, oh, there's papers being signed. Well, of course there's papers that have to be signed.
it's money is involved, you know? So I think this whole thing with Punk has been solved. And I think we're off to the races for one hell of an interesting summer. And I do believe that we are going to get some variation of CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite at Wembley Stadium. And I think that's where we're going to lead into everything. And I think a Punk-led collision where it's just going to be, hey, here's all these people you didn't see for months. Miro, Scorpio Sky, Thunder Rosa. I think that's going to be a huge thing. You put Jim Ross there Saturday, air it at 6:05 or 8 o'clock or whatever the fuck it's going to air. And I think you're going to have a very interesting product going forward. And this Summer of Punk and his cult of personality, I think, is actually going to be used to AEW's advantage. Because CM Punk also needs to make money, too. He just can't sit on the sidelines and quote, not get paid. So
he's got lawyers to pay.
Oh, bills to pay. Larry's got to eat. You know, WoW didn't exactly pan out for AJ. So we gotta do some stuff here. And I think this is all a big ruse. And I think everything is actually okay. But they're going to use this to their advantage.
And I think the convention scene's going to go downhill because we only air on Saturdays. And AEW stars are the only ones to make money. So this is great for the convention people. Anyway, let's talk
like
about
I said, that. It's an oversaturated market and it actually might help you out.
I enjoy my job a lot. I work very hard at it. Rob knows. He saw me sprinting the other day in Baltimore.
Literally the only person running across was at the Baltimore Agricultural Center, running around.
Leaping over hay barrels and pigs and stuff just to make sure Funaki's got a Red Bull.
That's right.
No, again, I need to buy Funaki a phone case. He told me specifically what phone, a whole thing. Love that guy. So let's talk about Double or Nothing. So the first match, I think we're crowning a new champion because we're talking about the TBS championship. Jade versus Taya Valkyrie. I feel like we can't wait for Statlander anymore. Jade needs to move on. She needs to do other things. Rob, you're going to disagree with me. I know you are. So yeah. Yeah, why is it Jade?
I think you like it when I disagree. Yeah. First of all, awesome seeing Lady Frost tonight, finally on Dynamite. Very, very cool. Like we always say with her, more flips in the morning shift at IHOP. She's amazing. I think Taya is also amazing, too. That being said, we always see that person. Like, for me, I thought it was going to be Nyla that was going to take. I just love what Nyla was doing, stealing the championship and all that. When she showed up at Baltimore Con unannounced and, you know, went up to the baddies and, like, did that extra mile behind the scenes for the fan stuff. It drew on Kimmy's face. It was amazing. That being said, stole your hat. Best day ever. I thought it was going to be Nyla. That being said, Taya's awesome. I know there's a story there, but I just don't see it being Taya. Like, I don't know who it's going to be. Like, I know you alluded to Statlander. It's such a monumental win. I just don't see it for Taya yet. So I say I'm going with the safe bet, and I'm going to go Jade.
You're saying her story isn't complete yet?
I think she's just getting started in AEW. That was a Cody thing that just went over my head, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, just got there. It's late.
It was a vicious take. What can I tell you?
There it is. There.
Shout out to David Gold from WrestleBash, who also drew on my face. It wasn't just Nyla Rose. It was also him and his staff. Make sure to check out WrestleBash August 20th in New Jersey. I'm working with somebody there. I don't know who. So, yay. Bill, who do you got?
I got Jade. So the thing that sucks here is that we have so many like blood matches here, because one thing Taya Valkyrie has always been awesome at is getting physical and getting violent, from her days in Los Perros del Mal in AAA to Lucha Underground, man. She is a great brawler, and I wish this had some sort of stipulation, a little more juice to it, because, man, they could go out. And I think Jade could hang, man. I think she really could hang if they got physical. I think she would have no problem in there. But I ultimately think she beats Taya, and we're going to get Statlander's return. And Statlander is going to get a pop for that. She's going to get a huge reaction. People love Statlander. And I think it has to be Statlander who has to beat her. Because as I've been saying for a while, I think it's going to eventually be the world title is going to go to Jade. And whether that she's taken it off Jamie Hayter or she's taken it off Saraya, who, you know, if we're going to do that in Wembley, I think she's the one to do it. So I'd like to see Statlander be the one to take the TBS title off of Jade.
Warren?
I am pro not making this boring anymore, because this whole thing with Jade has been, not the whole thing, but this stretch, I would say from, you know, Defense 30 onward has been dull as drywall. And yeah. I was really excited when they announced, you know, the surprise opponent, so on and so forth for the Canada show. This is how I would have booked it. You do the Canada show, you do the same thing with, her name is
Nicole Matthews.
Thank you. I feel embarrassed. I've forgotten. You do the thing with Nicole Matthews. She's like, is that all you got, Canada? Can't you send me anyone else? And Taya comes out and she's good to go. She's all decked out, right? And she comes in and she does the Jaded and she beats Jade right in the middle of the ring. And then what happens? Then things get interesting again. Then things get fun. Then even Jade has the backup to say, I was not ready, you know, doing the heel shtick.
You stole my move, which then works there as well.
And you can still go down this path. I am so bored with the Jade universe or the gravitational pull or expulsion, I should say, because none of the women that we'd really like to see Jade fight are involved in this. I want to see Jade up there with Tony and Jamie and Britt, and that's where she's at right now. This has not been good for Jade. Now, I know I still can't believe that we are practically a year removed from All Out last year from Chris Statlander's injury, and we're still going, oh, Chris Statlander's going to do it. And yeah, we could have done anything else in the meantime. And knowing Tony Khan, this was probably his plan, and he's probably still sticking with it. You know, a friend of mine recently convinced me that, you know, well, this is Tony Khan booking. He has his idea. This was the person earmarked to do it. And it makes sense what y'all are saying. Statlander comes out after the match, gets the huge reaction. That's the kind of stuff that's great about an AEW pay-per-view at the same time, you know, these surprise returns. But by God, like, do anything at this point with this title, with this reign. I don't care about the reign. I don't care about the reign. And meanwhile, you have Orange Cassidy, who's on every week defending the title. He's on every week. And every week they talk about his streak. They say, oh, he's up to 23 defenses, 24 defenses, whatever it is. And people are legitimately excited about it. Why? Because he's coming in every week. He's having great matches and in a variety of opponents. Jade is, beat Red Velvet 7 times. I beat Anna Jay 6 times. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. It's never or seldom against opponents that you really feel have a chance. Outside of Nyla, outside of Athena, who were you like, maybe has a chance?
It was Willow. That was about it.
Even Willow was 2 undercard at that point, even. Yeah, like she wasn't even, she hadn't even been elevated. She wasn't even signed, if I'm not mistaken, at that point. So, like, honestly, they need to do something fast, because this is stale bread. Stale white bread.
That's why I think something's going to happen, because it is so stale. And it just was like, all right, I'll see you at the pay-per-view. At the pape, dude. And it's like,
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you this, Bill. If they waited all this time, if they decided to do the 60-0 all this time just for Chris Statlander to come back, I think it will have ultimately hurt Jade. I think Jade, throughout this streak, has looked worse. She's come across worse off than anything. Remember, like, weren't they doing the stuff with who was the rapper they were doing? I think the hip hop artist.
Bow Wow.
Right. And that sort of, like, they tried stuff and then aren't working. And sure, she comes out with these crazy ass outfits like tonight, but you know, it's like, there's nothing to Jade. And if the plan was really to stick to, no, it's Chris Statlander winning the title, I think it was to Jade's detriment, if that's indeed what the plan was.
Yeah and no. And here's why. Because I think anytime we see Jade get fired up, the crowd really eats it up. And I think her being arrogant and then taking the big loss, I think we add a new dimension to, you could potentially add a new dimension to Jade. And this is what sets her off onto the, you could do the whole, I got complacent. Now I'm out for the world title, or now I'm out for blood or whatever. You could do that. Don't know if they will, but you could do something like that. It's like the person who's so cocky and so thing. It's the anti Goldberg, where like Goldberg lost. It's like, what the fuck are we doing with Goldberg now? She's like, you know what? Now I'm hungrier and more motivated, and she gets physical and fine. You could. I don't know if they will.
There's some rehabilitation to do. Absolutely. Yeah. That I'll meet you that way. Sure.
Tony, just brother, just hire me. I'll take care of it. It's fine. Kimmy's there too. She knows what to do.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I have contacts in high places over there. If only. I like how we had the same reaction. That was great. So I'm not happy about this match because I think it's really stupid. And Warren alluded to Orange Cassidy before, and they stuck him in a battle royal that he's obviously gonna win. And I don't like it. And is there a Joker? I asked you the other day, but let me answer it. Is there a Joker?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
There will be. It's the black casino battle royale, blackjack battle royale. Unless he's the Joker because he's the champion.
They said there were 20 people who signed up
and
to Tony Khan, and he's the 21st. So I don't think there's a Joker in this.
So Kimmy, I just want to clarify one thing. You said Orange Cassidy's gonna win this.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted to do. I just want to make sure my ears weren't playing tricks on me. I am old.
Yeah, we know. Would you like to go next?
I would love to, because this is where Orange Cassidy loses the international title. And there's a few ways that this can go. One, can go to old King Switch, Jay White. I think he's the, if you're doing the smart money pick, I think that's the guy who does it. Now, of course, Ricky Starks is there, and you could say Ricky's going to cancel him out. I don't think Ricky's going to cancel him out. I think what this is going to do is, Orange Cassidy's whole thing is he's hurt. He's wrestling hurt. And now he's going to face 20 guys. And I think this is where he loses, because now it's the insurmountable odds are against him. Even though he doesn't care, he's going to lose. Because, and I think Jay White, you need to do something a little bit more with Jay White. Put some, and if this is going to be a working man's title, I think what a perfect guy to put it on. Jay White can go out there and have, you know, a good match with me, and I have the athletic ability of old bread. So, I mean, it's just like, not even soggy bread, just like dried, crumpled up. Jesus Christ, this isn't even good enough for a crouton bread. Like, that's what I am. I'm old. I'm tired. I work with children in real life. They're awful. So it's just, so I think that's how it goes. Now, the other thing, which Kimmy's going to be like, I fucking hate you, Bill, when I say this. Because I was like, well, could there be a surprise? Could there be a guy who comes in and wins this? And yes, Will Ospreay. Because I'm like,
no.
Man, him and Orange had one hell of a match. They signed Aussie Open. I think you could even just have an interim type thing where he wins it and then it goes to Forbidden Door and defends it against someone who's more of an AEW regular and wins that, like Jay White. Jay White, Will Ospreay, oh man. I guess if we have to put that match together, you know, that's what I think. I think it's either Jay White or Will Ospreay, because I don't think it's going to be Ricky, because I think Ricky's got almost 2 feet out the door at this point. So, yeah. So I'm going to go with Jay White or Will Ospreay to take it from my dude, Orange Cassidy.
I don't like that one.
Yeah. I mean, you don't like, because one time Seth Rollins got into a spat with Will Ospreay on Twitter, and Seth Rollins looked like a dum-dum. Because he decided to talk about his wallet. But luckily, Seth Rollins has improved his social media presence. Is much more, everyone likes him now, maybe because he married up. That's what happens when you married a strong-willed Irish woman. I don't know. Marrying a strong, intelligent woman, I know, only helps people. So I can only speak from history and my own personal experience. So yeah, he's better now. But you need to get over the fact that Will Ospreay made him look like a chode. So...
You mean the person who's going to win the world title this weekend, Seth Rollins? That guy?
I mean, I'll allow it for that, but yeah, okay. He is going to win, so.
Obviously. Bill's team Kimmy on that one. Rob, do you think Orange is going to retain?
I actually do think Orange is going to retain, although I love what Bill's saying.
That means he's going to lose, guys, and I already got it wrong. Thanks, Rob.
I do like what Bill's saying about Will Ospreay. That makes so much sense, especially now that the other guys are signed. I didn't even think about that. If there is a Joker or whatever, like, we obviously know the format of the match, but that would make a lot of sense. That being said, they're not shining any light on any sort of surprises. Kimmy, do you know, just because you're good at these stats and stuff, the last I read, I think yesterday, there were only a handful of people actually announced. Like, did they announce more? I know it's 20 people, but did they announce? I saw Hobbs and like three other. But that being said, I mean, that's telling to me just in the fact, I mean, unless it is the big surprise, that's very telling to me. I mean, Bill, you said it perfectly. This is the workhorse. Even when the show started, it was, you know, we're watching the, you know, the pyro and it starts up and then you hear the Orange Cassidy theme. We're like, again, like he's kicking off. And I'm saying it's for time, like give him these workhorse matches and he looks great. I think it was Warren saying it on his shows, how they're playing up like the hand injury, how he's not finishing them with the punches. He was using the mousetrap and all this stuff. Mr. Warren Hayes show, subscribe. And we see more and more of that little, you know, the most deadly move in wrestling, like the quick roll-up. We saw a little roll-up at the end of this one. They've been good matches. This is your John Cena open challenge, man. If it ain't broke, you know what I mean? To have him run through 20 people injured, not run through because it's more battle royal type, but would be interesting. But I just think, why change it? Like, Jay White would be really, really cool. But again, like to fans who just know Jay White in Dynamite, like he hasn't been, he's got, like, he's not even in a direct feud with Ricky Starks. Like, we can go down that whole thing. And that's a whole thing I don't even want to get into.
It's an absolutely direct feud with
Ricky Starks. Well, I meant,
he literally beat up Ricky Starks backstage.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson screams Ricky like he's Cuba Gooding Jr. in Boys in the Hood. Every week, that's a direct feud. If you're quoting a John Singleton movie,
I was going because it was by association through the funnel of Juice Robinson. That's how it. And again, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but you had the feud with Jericho, great, and then this is like a little all over the place. But I don't want to go into all that right now. I feel just because not a lot of the competitors have been announced for this, I feel that Cassidy has just been doing this essentially U.S. Open Challenge. It's been amazing. The workhorse title. It would be cool to see Jay White be the one defending it, but I just think it's almost a given that Orange Cassidy is going to retain here.
So now that I'm going to be wrong, thanks to Rob. Warren, what do you think?
Well, Kimmy, since you invited me on this show, I'm going to agree with you. Because I'll tell you why, but that's why I'm here.
let me tell you something, brother.
let me tell you something, Mean Gene. The Orange Cassidy story that they've been telling basically since he won it last fall has been fantastic. The guy is like, it's the most perfect. It's not even like a real open challenge. It's not even like I'll take on all comers. He's just like, you want a shot at this? Come, you know, all right, I'll do it. You know, he's just like, and then being the big dummy that he is, he's not realizing that he's, you know, he said it to Renee a couple of weeks ago on TV. I'm so tired, Renee. You know, it's like, and that's the thing. He's exhausting himself. He's injuring himself because the orange punch doesn't work anymore because his hand is taped up. He can barely do the beach break properly anymore. It doesn't put people away because his arm is hurt. His back is hurt. That's why he's squeaking wins out. It's been a fantastic story. And I'm sitting here going, can you imagine the screwball heel that will come in, challenge him to a one-on-one, and use all of that to all of those things against him and squeeze out of the mousetrap and win? Imagine a guy like Shane Strickland that would be perfect to do this.
Yeah.
Just coming in being a weasel throughout the entire match and getting the win over valiant Orange Cassidy that we have seen his blood, sweat, and tears throughout this great run that he's had. And let's underscore this. It has been a great title run. One of the best in AEW history. Rouge would have been another great one that you could have done with this. A 20 Royal, what are we doing? Could there be any more anticlimactic way for him to lose the title than with 20 other guys? Oh, but we have to protect Orange Cassidy. Who cares? Build like a heel instead. This is what it's for. This is exactly why you have the Valiant babyface in this circumstance. It's to turn around and be like, look at this dastardly son of a bitch who used all of the weaknesses that Orange Cassidy has developed over the past few weeks, months, to take the title off of him, right? To me, this is it. I hope he retains. This is more of a hope than something maybe, based in logic, because it's not that I don't want this to stop. I want this to elevate a heel. I want a heel, someone absolutely disgusting who uses everything against Orange Cassidy to pull out the win here. And it's basic wrestling storytelling, but in this case works because Orange is over. Like people, like as he is super over, it will work. And if you want to make something with Shane Strickland, this is how you do it. You want to do something with Roosh, this is how you do it. Straight off the bat. That's how I feel about it. And by the way, it won't be Will Ospreay, because Will Ospreay is going to win the IWGP United States tournament next weekend Dominion, and he's going to be fighting Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door. That's pretty much where we're going with this.
So, to wit on what you were saying, what is the most screwball heel way to beat Orange Cassidy right now? A guy who has a bad back and a bad hand, who can't save himself from going over the top rope. And imagine Shane Strickland, the guy who put the cinder block on Keith Lee's chest, Mr. I had a heart complication. I could see him doing something like taking pliers. He's already broke Billy Gunn's hands with pliers. Doing something dastardly to him, just working it and just being that shitty heel in that situation. Because I have faith in the AEW Battle Royal booking, because they're usually pretty good. And then what I would love to see, especially if Orange is actually hurt in real life, is that Strickland's like, I'm not defending against you. I won't defend against you. And then we get finally we get the Orange Cassidy rematch. I would love to see that. Again, Tony Khan, available. DMs are open. Let's go. You hired Will Washington, hire me.
I told you how to get there, Bill.
And I'm still working the angle. Yeah, so...
What I enjoy about your idea is that it could happen in the Battle Royal. What I don't enjoy about your idea is that it could happen in the Battle Royal.
That's why this match is very stupid. But you know what match isn't stupid? The one with Sabu in it, because he replaced Bobby Fish in Undisputed Era.
He is. The memes right now on Twitter are amazing.
They're glorious.
Oh my god. So they're basically, for those who haven't seen it, it's essentially they've just photoshopped Sabu in where Bobby Fish would be in the Undisputed Era. It's friggin' amazing.
That should just be the cover for this podcast, Rob. You're already failing. Unbelievable. So, Warren, I'm going to go to you, since you like to tweet about Sabu all the time.
Exactly.
You got Cole or Jericho?
The bit has finally come to fruition, and I'm not on Twitter anymore. Thanks, Tony Khan. Thank you, Tony. I'm super looking forward to this match. I'm really, really looking forward to this. Jericho and Adam Cole, at least in their promos, and they have great chemistry, don't they? Just fantastic banter and just back and forth, and you can tell they play off each other so well. Look, Jericho is going to be in another position where he's going to put another guy over. I think it's just as clear as day. Tony Khan has some very big plans for Adam Cole. I think you have to be, blind and deaf at this point to not realize it. The guy came in last year. Was it last year? Two years ago already? Shoosh. All right, so he comes in 2 years ago, and he's almost immediately slotted into a world championship program. And he does eventually get the world championship program. Gets injured, comes back. They give him the tinker tape. They give him the confetti on his return match after beating Dan Garcia. And the whole thing, and, his girlfriend comes in the ring. And Tony Khan sees Adam Cole and he's like, this guy's money. It's just as simple as that. He's going to be a world champion sooner than later. Just no, it's not a mistake that he's in a feud with Chris Jericho right now. He didn't, you know, not putting Adam Cole in a mid-card feud, you know, fighting with, you know, Powerhouse Hobbs or whatever. No disrespect. But, you know, he's like, no, we're putting you right at the top with the upper crust of guys and Chris Jericho, whose career in AEW has essentially been, despite what people on Twitter want you to believe, whose career in AEW has been putting people over, going to continue. I think Adam Cole's going to win in a really entertaining match. And I am scared as to what Sabu's going to do.
You're scared?
Yeah, gosh. No, because the guy's broken. The guy broke his neck twice. He's had some of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen on a wrestling show. Like the one, I think it was against Chris Benoit in ECW. He landed on his head and he shouted out to Paul Heyman, I can't move. He was paralyzed for a few seconds and he shouted out to Paul Heyman, I can't move. Like, just ridiculous stuff. That's why, and he's already broken down. Like, I don't know what they're expecting him to do, but that's what's terrifying me.
See, I wasn't alive for that. Or most of his career.
I know. I'm so old. What are you going to do?
I'm sorry, world. That's not my fault. Bill, who do you got?
There's a streaming service.
I know.
You could watch all that on. It would be pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Are you going to make my schedule have time? I don't have time.
Let's not compare schedules. I love... And Rob knows this, because I've known Rob longer than all you guys, is that I love Adam Cole. Adam Cole, I once said, if there's ever a next Ric Flair, it could be Adam Cole. Because I think he's that incredible in the ring. I loved his promo tonight where he was basically shaking, like, I want to kill you for what you did to Britt. Because if that was me, I would feel the same way. And I feel like if that was anyone in the crowd, they would be shaking and flustered and just wanting to go out there and wanting to destroy the person who handcuffed me while the love of my life was getting kendo sticked in her very injured spine. And I think that's what sells it. And Jericho just trying to be like the coolest guy in the room, being like, hey, let me tell you why Iron Maiden should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know why LL Cool J is in there. You know, that whole debacle. It's perfect. They're perfect together. And you're right, Warren. Like, they have the best chemistry together. For two guys who've never worked together, it's like Terry Funk and Ric Flair there. They're just like, it's just like, oh, hey, we're back. You know, we haven't wrestled 20 years. Don't worry, we're good. I love the addition of Sabu. It's like ECW fanboy Tony Khan doing us all right. And all Sabu has to do is like one or two things. He doesn't have to do a lot. I was actually predicting a Kyle O'Reilly cameo. I'm still not ruling out a Kyle O'Reilly cameo because all he has to do is like swing a 2x4 or something like that. He doesn't get involved. He just cracks Jake Hager and steals his hat. Which would be hilarious. And I do love Roderick Strong in AEW. This is where he should have been for years.
It's a resurgence for him. It's fantastic. He looks so happy.
Adam Cole's going to win, and Adam Cole is the next guy for MJF. That's undoubted.
So I was gonna say.
Well, I'm sorry, but you could talk about other people that are involved in this match that you love very dearly.
Can he win? I don't understand why he keeps.
No, I was talking about Baker, but okay.
Oh no, I was talking about Daniel. Okay, so first of all, Daniel Garcia keeps on losing. Not happy about it. Number two, Britt Baker they put on Rampage. Not happy about that either. No. No. Number three.
It's better than this.
No, we're not doing that. They're not on the card. We don't need to do that. What do you mean yet? There's nowhere for them to go.
The pre-show. The
buy-in. No. No.
On the card. Hang on a second. Is there of the firm and the... Yeah, they're on the card.
I thought...
No, they're not.
No, they announced the Guns and All Ego versus
Brother Zay and the Hardys, but I don't know when that's happening. It's not officially announced for Double or Nothing. I wouldn't be surprised it's on the buy-in.
Yeah, I did hear that was a match. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure where it is. That's a good point, actually.
As Sleepy Bear Rob wakes up to head in. He's just like, someone get me a chamomile tea. Oh, but anyway, Kimmy, I'm sorry about Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you. No, stop doing that.
I can't. I don't want to do the dance.
Why? It's funny.
Because I don't think my neck can move that much anymore.
He already sang for us. Come on, Kimmy.
He did. But, you know, I wanted both singing and dancing. That's why I was promised here. Anyway, Adam's going to win, and then it's going to be him versus MJF. Not Forbidden Door. Maybe All Out. Maybe there.
You think? Here's my question to you, Kimmy. Does your girl, Britt Baker, who's on Rampage this week, you know, does she get involved in a match?
Yeah.
Yes. 1,000%.
She's going to get her retribution on Jericho. She's going to hit him with the kendo stick and help Adam win. So now they're even. So it'll be like four against five. They'll even out. With your Kyle O'Reilly appearance, it'll be 5-on-5. There you go. How they get even. Rob.
You know who doesn't show up? Bobby Fish. Although I would love it if Jericho, being the shitster he is, takes a fish and throws it at Adam Cole. Again, Tony Khan, I'm writing this for you.
Oh, should I tell him this tomorrow? Actually,
yes,
you could do it.
Fucking tell him tomorrow. You'd just be like, dude, my friend Bill said, get a fish, write the word Bobby on it, and have Jericho hit him with it. It'd be hilarious.
Got it. I'll do that. You should do it too when you're on the media call.
I gotta do that.
Sorry.
Real quick, Kelvin in the chat, No Gimmicks Podcast, says Cole's gonna win. And he was saying, I guess, that Hardy's firm match might be on the buy-in. I don't know if that's official. So we'll definitely look into that. Quick Sabu aside story. Baltimore Sled Fest 2 years ago, got there, long drive down there. I was gonna get changed into my blazer and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, you can go, you know, in this dressing room over here. Just don't wake up Sabu because he's asleep. And I said, I'm not going in there. I don't want to wake up Sabu. So I just went in the bathroom and got changed. But yeah, I think that was the right decision. That being said, man, you guys said Adam Cole, Jericho, man, as soon as I saw them like interact or cross paths for the first time in any way on Dynamite, I was like, yes, this makes so much sense. I think it makes all the sense in the world for Jericho to put Adam Cole over here, unless they're going to do like the AEW thing where they do like series of matches. But if it's just a one-off, and I think that's a key point, you know, the moments in the match, the story of the match with Britt Baker coming in, that's a great point, Bill. Let's be real. I think Tony, just, you know, from an outside looking in, I think he liked that black and gold brand a lot. I think he's a big Adam Cole guy. You know, I picked Adam Cole to be the guy to dethrone Hangman, Adam Page. I picked him several times to dethrone Hangman, and I was super wrong on that. But I see the jetpack on him right now. So glad he's healthy, first and foremost. Man, I can't say enough good things, man. This guy can put on, like, I don't even want to say five-star, but this guy can put on quality matches, and you're working with a guy like Jericho. Like, sign me up. The real winners here, the fans, but I got to go Adam Cole. Payday.
Austin is a pretty nice person, if I do say so myself, but another match I'm not looking forward to, because Christian Cage, Warren, you need to explain this to me. Why is Christian Cage in this position and not Luchasaurus? What are we doing here?
Because Christian Cage is incredible. I mean, he's the Giga Chad. What do you want from me?
Like, Giga Chad.
There's no other way to explain it. He's fantastic. He has been nothing but fantastic, and one of the low key great elements of what makes an AEW undercard entertaining. And I'll tell you why, because he's the manipulator. He's the master. He's not going to be, oh, you thought it was for this guy? No, this guy works for me. I'm coming in for the title. I mean, it's fantastic. He wears turtlenecks, Kimmy. He is the turtleneck king. That all the pieces are in place. And he has real heat. People do not like the guy. And they don't need to have Bruce Pritchard in the back pushing a button to make sure that people understand that they don't like him. They actually boo him out of the building. The promo he cut 2 weeks ago, when he was with Luchasaurus, he started to talk louder as the audience got louder. We heard him fine, but there was someone there from the Mr. Warren Hensel Discord was at the arena. Everyone was so loud, and he was just talking louder and louder and louder as everyone was getting louder. It was fantastic. So that's why he's here. Plus, Wardlow will benefit tremendously from working with a brilliant creative wrestling mind like his, who will be able to work around the ladder match as well. Because here's the thing. No disrespect to Luchasaurus. He ain't a Christian Cage when it comes to putting the match together. And iron sharpens iron. So if you want to get better as a wrestler, you work with the top talent, which is another reason why Jade should stop working with jabrons. Anyway, but that's the idea. It's like, you put him in there with Christian Cage, and he's going to guide him through a fantastic match. All of Wardlow's strengths are going to be put to the best of use. We're going to hide all of his weaknesses. He's going to look like a star, but I want Christian Cage to win.
I mean,
I know a lot of people are really annoyed with the hot potatoing of the TNT title. I don't care. I want Christian Cage to win this title and then go on a reign of terror where he defends once every 4 months. And all he does is cut promos on people as to why he is not going to why he's not going to put the belt up against them. Tell me that wouldn't be absolutely fantastic.
God. On another timeline, it would be fucking perfect.
There you go.
No.
Those are my thoughts.
No.
Yes.
Wardlow's gonna win and beat this old person who shouldn't be in this match. Rob.
Hey, that's ageism. Hang on a second.
Girl, yeah. Come on.
That's not my fault.
It actually is your fault because you made the statement.
But it was funny.
Someone
laughed.
I don't want what Warren said to happen, man. Now you're scaring me. Because
there you go, Rob. That's what I want, that honesty. No copy and paste. I want to hear your beer.
It has been hot potatoed. That's the title that gets hot potatoed. I see it continuing to be hot potatoed. That being said, I think Wardlow retains here because he's keeping that title warm for Luchasaurus. And that Luchasaurus TNT title run. Calling it now. It is going to be the next match. Is Luchasaurus going to win? Maybe.
No, that's not going to happen either. Bill, let's talk to someone who has a really good elite point of view.
So, Warren's right. Because here's the thing about that Wardlow. No. I don't agree with Christian Cage winning. I agree with why he's in this match. Because Christian Cage is the master of the ladder match. He's an in-ring genius, and he can get people to hate him. It doesn't matter where this match is on the card, he will get that heat, and that's what Wardlow needs. He needs to fight a guy who is going to try and outsmart him and be sneaky, and he can get heat, and then when he makes the big comeback, he gets the win, he gets the huge reaction, because Wardlow has been yo-yoed. I mean, if we're talking about a person who's gotten hot and cold, I mean, there's no one who fits that in AEW more than Wardlow. And I think you need him to beat that guy. And if Christian Cage loses, it doesn't. To quote William Shakespeare or The Rock, you take your pick, it doesn't matter. Because he's still going to be over. And then what's going to happen? He'll fight Luchasaurus. Rob, hate to break it to you. Luchasaurus is going to lose. I know he's in that whole Kane phase, and you're like, yes, new Kane.
Who's like
not
Luchasaurus.
A problematic mayor.
No. Let's not get political. No. Luchasaurus.
As do I, but Luchasaurus, he's still, I think he's still got a bunch of injuries that he's dealing with. He's not young, so, and he's a big guy, so he's going to take a little longer to heal up. And so I think he'll beat Luchasaurus as well down the road.
And we need to keep Wardlow hot. And so let's, and I wouldn't be surprised if Christian maybe even tries to recruit other people to come after Wardlow. This might be something that, you know, goes on for a little bit, but I just think Wardlow's going to win here because he needs to win here.
You don't think they pull the whole, like, Christian isn't going to compete and then, like, does the whole switcheroo, like, the second the bell rings kind of thing with Luchasaurus? Like,
I think both guys will be involved in the match.
Oh, okay.
But I think ultimately it's going to be Christian who takes the pin. Also, I want to put over Christian's promo about...
It's not a pin. It's a ladder match. I had to climb a ladder to get the title.
I'm sorry, Kimothy. I forgot. It's so... I also want to put over Christian Cage's promo about how, say how Jungle Boy's a piece of shit, but he still respects him,
that's
which
fantastic.
Was fucking awesome. But yeah,
Edge so could never.
We'll see him soon enough. Don't worry.
But okay, I want to just touch on the hot potatoing thing because it's been an it,
I do
it's
love
been something
potato.
That I've heard a lot. I personally a good baked potato, sour cream, little bacon on top. Come on, I mean you can't beat the basics and chives. You can't beat the basics. How many people do you believe held the TNT title for over 100 days since its inception?
Two.
Zero?
Hold on. Just trying to remember all the champions. One.
It's actually three.
Really?
Darby Allin, Miro, and Wardlow.
I didn't think Miro hit 100 days. I thought he was just under. Okay.
He did. So when people talk about, I don't like the title being hot potato, that's been the story of the TNT title. Like it has been, it's a TV title. So it's supposed to be defended on TV and it's supposed to change hands on TV. That's what it's supposed to do. Like, I don't have a problem with it. That's why I'm like, I don't care about the hot potato. We can give it to Christian. Why should you give it to Christian? Christian's hot. And I say, go with your hot hand. Go with the guy who is unquestionably hot.
And Wardlow, hot potato.
And especially when you're hot potatoing it, see? Wardlow is over. You know, because again, there's a lot of doom and gloom around Wardlow that I don't understand. These people like his shtick. It works. He gets the chance. He's fine. But if I'm a promoter and I see a guy come, a heel, mid-card heel, getting that kind of heat, like on top of, you know, on top of my other guys, like at the top of the card who can... talk people into the building. If I can get a guy on my mid card talk people into the building, that's what I'm going with.
You know where you go with it?
Tell me.
If Christian Cage does win it, person you have to defeat him is Orange Cassidy. And there you go. And then he does the same thing with the international title he did with the TNT title.
But seriously, think of that feud. Two like comfortable mid-card guys, and there's nothing wrong with that, but who are super over, that people love, you know, people enjoy for different reasons. You know, you have the top heel and a big heel and a big baby face. Lead that into All Out. I'd be excited for that. That'd work for me, big brother.
But are you excited that Mark Briscoe is a special guest referee in the tag title match?
I'm excited that Karen Jarrett is there.
I loved it. I love it. See, Kimmy, people don't know. Kimmy is a hardcore TNA fan.
No, I am.
You were.
That is true.
You are. Come on.
I'm agreeing with you. I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you were about to say I was a hardcore Jeff Jarrett fan. I was about to be like,
No,
not true. He's the nicest person in real life, though. I will say that. He's great. I've worked with him.
He's got that charm. I'll tell you, that's for sure.
That's not my fault that all these people just like me for whatever and then tell me all their deepest, darkest secrets.
Kimmy, it is nothing against you.
I remember seeing him at an indie show selling Global Force Gold. Ooh. And then I yelled at him when he was fighting Pat Buck in a steel cage. I said, why'd you hit him with a gold brick, you moron? He did not like that. Maybe a couple Jamesons in.
So there's a tag title match. And it's FTR versus the critically acclaimed Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, Jay Squared. And the problem with this is, do you know how many title matches Jeff Jarrett has had since he signed? Too many.
Oh.
And he's lost every single one. Why do we keep doing this? I have no idea. I'm just excited to see Sanjay Dutt and Mark Briscoe get into it doing something. But FTR is going to win. Rob.
Yeah, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett and all them, and now we have Karen Jarrett involved. Like, it's, I don't want to say it's a lot of moving parts, but the whole story that they're trying to tell feels a little disconnected to me. Some of the segments maybe felt a little rushed.
TNA, Rob. It feels like a TNA angle. It really does.
Yeah,
everything about this is TNA. It's fantastic.
Sanjay Dutt's writing every word of it. He's like,
unfortunately not super invested. The Mark Briscoe thing's really interesting. It adds something to it, but like the whole like slap in the face tonight and that whole thing. I just don't like it, it's that classic, and like maybe that's TNA, right? Maybe it's that classic, like, oh, you got to have that tension so there's no favoritism, but he's really gonna help him out or whatever. Like, I don't even want to go down that road. I really just think the FTR retains the titles. So we get FTR versus the Hardys. I'm not even going to do the whole Elite Punk kind of thing. I'm thinking FTR versus the Hardys down the road. So the Hardys finally capture those AEW World Tag Team Championships.
Of course.
I think that match is a lock, yeah.
Because you want your favorites to win.
Would that be Wembley? Because you say,
no.
Okay.
No.
I don't know. You do it in the Carolinas. That's where you do it.
Tickets, man.
Not to sell out Wembley Stadium, that's for damn sure. Warren?
Good little mid-card feud. I don't have many thoughts about it. I think it's been well done. I think I really enjoyed the vignette that they shot at the chicken farm. I thought that was a peak AEW moment. That was legendary stuff. Just like FTR running out last week and just shoving Sanjay Singh off the stage. He's just standing around and Dax like, and he just throws him right off. I popped big for that because I was not expecting that. And then Karen Jarrett returned. Like, you know, it's inoffensive. It doesn't, it's not getting me, it's entertaining me. It's not getting my blood boiling. It's not making me sad. It'll be fine. I guess FTR retains. I wouldn't mind if they decide to strap up Jeff Jarrett. Honestly, I think it'd be hilarious. I don't know. Like, it honestly, it really, really doesn't bother me.
Bill?
I'm eating this whole angle up like it's Sunday brunch. I friggin' love it. It's like, I grew up watching, like, when Jeff Jarrett was still super young and he was simply irresistible Jeff Jarrett, and he was in USWA teaming with Jeff Gaylord. Like, I mean, maybe the guy should have rethought his last name a little bit. It was the 80s, who cared? So this is just so Memphis. It's just like, let's have a million things happen here. Yep. I'm surprised this was not a barroom brawl match or something like that, which still may happen.
Arena match.
Yeah, it's just so goofy and weird. And this is the type of shit I love. Jeff Jarrett, why is Jeff Jarrett always on TV? Because the guy's in the best shape of his career. He's wrestling his ass off, and he's having a blast. And I think this is going to be a very, very fun match. Mark Briscoe, the modern-day Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, he'll be in AEW till he's 85 years old and will still be wildly entertaining. Like, it's going to be just a really fun thing. I think he's aligned with FTR. He's not going to go heel. He's Mark Briscoe. He's the best. This is all going to be a lot of fun. I think maybe we get another match or two out of it. Like I said, when they do like kind of the gimmicky road rager and shit like that, like they'll have like the barroom brawl or something like that. And it'll be fun. But FTR is going to retain here. Somehow I think like probably Dax's daughter ends up equalizing Karen Jarrett, or they mentioned her today. They have friggin' Dixie Carter take out Karen Jarrett. If that happens, you will hear me yell from the fucking rooftop how awesome that is. I would love the shit out of that just for one time. And that's just paying off that is the niche wrestling fans. That is just like, hey, Kimmy, when you were 7, you knew what this was. This one's for you, kid. Like, that's what that would be.
I was like 9. You're a I was up. Off.
I have a degree in words, not numbers. So I mean,
me
it's
too.
Like, exactly. So I mean, yeah, Dixie Carter. Let's get that fucking cameo. Let's go.
So wait. So if I get this right, I'm gonna hear you when I'm in Nevada. I'm gonna hear you from New Jersey.
You 100% will.
Okay, I'll make sure to text you. I'll be like, yeah, I heard you. But I'm upset about this match because the champ's injured, and I don't really know what we're doing with this because she is really hurt. But then, like, why are we still having this match if she's really hurt? And then where's this blood and guts match leading to? Because I'm still a firm believer it's happening in the TD Garden. But where? Where's everybody? I don't get it. I'm really confused. If Jamie's really hurt, don't be shocked if Tony wins here. But, I don't know. Maybe Jamie will retain. I'll go with Jamie. Safe bet. Bill?
I mean, I don't know how hurt she really is or not. I think it actually would add to the feud if she lost. Because now you need something to keep the Outcasts hot. And they are hot. They are a popular act, and man, what a turnaround that's done for Ruby Soho, who was basically floundering for a better part of a year. And now she's doing this. She looks like she's having a blast. Tony too. Saraya is, they're using her great in all her spots, I think. And putting the gold on them puts the onus on them, makes them more important. And especially if Jamie's hurt, then you just take it off of her and she's able, blood and guts, they can work around, if that's gonna happen, they can work around that. Who takes the belt off of her? I mean, who knows? So for Tony, if she wins, but hey, you go to Wembley. And then if it's Jamie versus Tony in Wembley Stadium, holy shit, pal. Because I was there live, as was Rob and Kimmy. You were there for that match at the Prudential Center, and that was the match of the night. They beat the piss out of each other, and that is, brother, that is what I am here for. So I agree with Kimmy. I think Tony Storm is taking the belt.
I didn't say Tony was going to win. I said Jamie was going to retain.
Oh, fuck it. I Tony Storm!
Unbelievable. Rob, as your girlfriend is commenting in the comment section that she wants me to wrap this up, so
no, she's still can go she, back. She still likes me.
Hey, Vicky, he's not going anywhere. You can make out with him later. Snuggle Wumpkins will be up once the podcast is over. He's fine. He ain't going nowhere.
That's the new t-shirt right there, Snuggle Wumpkins.
You're welcome.
I gotta say this, Kimmy, and you brought up a great point at the beginning. I was gonna say how hurt is Jamie Hayter. All I know that last Wednesday they announced the 6-woman tag match and they changed it to a 2-on-2 day of, like later that afternoon kind of a thing. Not a ton of mention of Jamie Hayter during that match. Injured. That kind of tells me something. Whatever you are comfortable sharing, Kimmy, do you know what the injury is, or do we know anything?
I believe it's a shoulder. She had K-tape on her shoulder in her backstage segment. It's a shoulder.
Wait, she had like the KR tape? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, so KT tape. That's what athletes use when there's ligament problems.
I'm very, very familiar with taping people. Yes, I just don't know what it's called, but yeah. So telling me that it's the tape, telling me that's the shoulder that could be Cody's going in, right? Cody could do it. He has two legs, he could walk in. It comes down to the extent of the injury. If she just has the KT tape, she can go. They obviously feel that they can do this match. I think if she was seriously injured, you know, just health over story, obviously. Like, I don't think she'd be competing here. So it would make sense for Toni Storm to win because during her reign, she was also only the interim, and we had that whole asterisk talk. She was never the official champion. That happened when Jamie held it. And then I think Bill brought up a great point to have them fight over in Wembley. That'd be really, really cool. It all comes down to the extent of the injury because I feel like Jamie Hayter would retain here. If the injury is bad enough, I don't think they would let her wrestle, quite honestly. Toni Storm should win it. They're also, you know, picking up momentum with that group that Toni Storm's in. So it's the injury just kind of throws a wrench into the whole thing. I can honestly see Toni Storm winning, but if they're letting Jamie Hayter fight, I'll go Jamie to retain. I'm struggling with this one now.
I mean, they let Britt wrestle with a non-existent back, so take that for what it's worth. Warren?
I am in a very much a go bold state of mind, and I think doing, you know, I think the prospect of this injury, how severe it is, we don't know. Like, I can only hope. Look, honestly, I hope people are not wrestling injured. That's mostly the things. Like, wrestling hurt, okay, that happens. Wrestling injured, that freaking sucks. So, are they playing this up a little bit? You know, everyone says it's legitimate. Is she injured? Does she need some time off? Okay, can she do a few spots in the ring and with Toni Storm without aggravating? Like, I don't want to know another Cody torn pectoral thing. I still think that was stupid. The point being is that I'm making here is that if this could be an excuse for Jamie to take some time off, because they could, you know, in kayfabe, aggravate the injury, you know. They could do that. And I think they need to go bold. I think they need to shake things up a little bit. I think it would be very fun for Toni to get it back. And look, there's been some signs that Toni is being positioned. She's getting the pins. She got the win over Shida last week. They put over the fact that first time in AEW history, 5 wins in 4 days for you know, they're giving us just like, oh, here's the trail of breadcrumbs, folks. If you're paying attention, you might be able to figure out what we're going to do with the pay-per-view kind of thing. Jamie getting some time off and so on and so forth. I also am very much a fan of the idea of a women's blood and guts. I think it would rule. But if Jamie's hurt, I think this is the kind of thing that Tony's going to hold off on it. And if he's going to hold off because Jamie's hurt, might as well put the strap on someone else and work another type of program in the meantime. So, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone's like, yeah, Jamie has to return, but maybe in the circumstances, it would all make sense and it all work. And Toni Storm's hot right now. She's doing fantastic work. I didn't know if y'all saw Resurgence this weekend, the New Japan show.
A clip, yeah.
That run-in that she had was the most entertaining part of that match. It was fantastic. And she's a fantastic worker. She's one of the best workers in the company. Let's go right ahead. Let's give the title to Toni and see where that leads us. We'll be fresh at the very least.
He's good.
Fresh is good.
He's very good. That Warren guy.
That's going why places. I brought him back.
He's good.
I did it. You didn't.
A good host knows.
Yeah, Rob, you wouldn't, because we kicked you off from hosting.
Rob who?
For the foreseeable future of this podcast.
Snuggle Lumpkins over there, come on.
I'm not like calling him that.
Please
that's
don't.
All you.
Please don't.
That's like, oh, wait, I mean, it used to be Thirst Trap Jones. I mean, come on.
I knew that. That was my time here. So now we have the match I'm most excited for, because I could be on TV in Anarchy in the Arena, depending on where my seats are. Isn't that crazy? I know.
That's awesome. I would be very excited to see you on TV.
And are you going to text me and be like, look, I saw Kimmy?
I would.
Okay. So I think this is where me and Mike disagreed for our article on Friday. I think the BCC are going to win because Tikshita's going to come out and cost the Elite. And Don Callis' masterminding plan, Bill.
So I have all sorts of Bill's wacky, waving, inflatable theories on this one. So I think there's a lot. So I wonder how hurt Bryan Danielson is, because we haven't seen him get physical since the Iron Man match. So I wonder if a certain junior member of the BCC, old Mr. Shooter, Shota Umino, shows up to help out, be like that extra guy, because he's still around. I could see that. But my big thing is, I was like, oh man, what could the Elite do that would be cool? Then I remember something a Tennessee Two-Step and Son of a Bitch said. Anyone that comes out of a box is immediately over. And what better way to do it than an Ibushi in a box? And have Kota Ibushi show up and help out his golden lover, Kenny Omega, at that show. Because remember, they're like, hey, because they have all sorts of stuff, you know, there's like, oh, we're smarter than you, we work harder than you. And let's face it, the Bucks, you know, Matt Jackson is very hurt. So they might need that help. So I think like we might see some additional people in there. So that's my big theory, is that either Shooter or Ibushi are going to be some sort of special guest cameo. And my God, if Ibushi shows up, that place is going to go fucking insane. And it should. I think the BCC is going to win this, because I do think Don Callis somehow gets involved. I don't think Don Callis manages the BCC. I do think he is involved somehow with whomever the next feud for the Elite is. I do think that somehow does involve Takeshita, possibly Ospreay, possibly other people. And I would be very excited to see. This match is going to be amazing. This match is just going to be a celebration of fucking violence. And I am so here for it. Last year's was awesome. It really was. Eddie Kingston with the gas can. Oh,
a forever visual.
And it's such a shame when he's hurt right now. But yeah,
he'll be back in 6 weeks. They announced on Ring of Honor TV. He'll be back in 6 weeks, my dude. It's okay.
Good. And then, yeah, so I'm going to go BCC.
Good. Your team, Kimmy. Good. Your team, Kimmy. Tell Mike that. Warren.
Mike doesn't care.
I think he does.
Well, Mike doesn't care. I'm not going to tell him. He doesn't care.
I'll tell him.
Here I am talking about, hey, let's do bold, you know, I'm in a very bold mood, and you guys are talking about the BCC, but which I consider to be bold, because I consider in this situation, you have to go with the happy ending. You have to go with the Elite, you know, reuniting, everyone's friends again, Penny and Hangman hug at the end. That's what everyone wants. That's what people want. And AEW has a tendency to give what the people want. And I think we move from there. I am in love with the idea of Kota Ibushi showing up to help out. I think the Don Callis thing is a misdirection right now, because I think that he will come into play once we fully get into Double or Nothing, Forbidden Door season, and Will Ospreay is the guy who's going to come after Kenny, because I think Don Callis is going to be managing Will Ospreay.
Ooh.
To make damn sure that we understand that Kenny's the babyface and Will Ospreay's the heel.
I was wondering if he was going to manage Punk, because I'm like, whoa, you want to get fucking ballsy.
I've got theories of Stokely Hathaway and Punk.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Oh. But as it stands right
your,
now.
Your lips to God's ears on that one.
but as it stands for Anarchy in the Arena, I think there will be some. I think there'll be some surprises, and I think Kota Ibushi is one that you have. I mean, this is kind of what makes AEW pay per views fun, is when you have these. You know, we were talking about Chris Statlander, and we're probably going to talk about the other guy towards the end of the show. Kota Ibushi showing up is just going to blow the roof off the place, because that's another thing everyone wants. And, you know, you get the Elite, the complete, not the complete version of the Elite, because Cody's not there, but, you know, and neither Flip Gordon's not there either. He was never in the Elite, though. Flip was never in the Elite.
Please never. Please never.
But that's the point. I'm just ready to sit back here and enjoy. I think the Elite should go over. Anarchy in the Arena last year was one of my top 10 favorite matches of the year. It was, and I'm super stoked for this, and I'm glad they're bringing it back. I'm glad they're making, hopefully they're going to make this into a Double or Nothing staple, where it's like, you know, every year you look forward to it and you see what they're building to, and you're like, this is where we're going to. I'm so excited. And as good as last year's was, look at the guys who are in this one this year. It's going to be even nutser. It's going to be nutser, nutsoy, nutserer.
I'm
excited for it.
Bill's the person in charge of words. I go to him when I have word questions, so he's the one. Rob.
I'm getting yelled. I'm changing my answer to Tony Storm. I think
you can't change your answer.
I think this is a tough one. I think the Blackpool Combat Club, not to say it's been disjointed, but don't forget, like, they were all, you know, and they kind of all do their singles stuff, but, like, don't forget, they all kind of turned heel while Danielson was, like, super face. And again, like, we talk about, like, there is he officially injured, or you said he's been on commentary a super lot. Is he injured?
No.
Oh, I thought Bill said that Danielson was injured.
Well, he hasn't been, he hasn't had done anything physically.
Oh, okay, so it's assumed there might
be
something.
So I'm just wondering how healthy.
Okay.
Or this is, or consider this two things. First of all, he carried the company on his back for the first quarter of the year leading into Revolution, just having balls to the wall matches every week. So if anyone could be like, hey, Tony goes up to the boss and says, hey, Tony, I'd like to sit this one out for this build. Is that okay? Tony be like, sure. No problem, pal. And I just had, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy brain going, not doing any matches, being as little physical as possible. Is it because he's preparing his body for the G1?
Damn right he is.
This guy. Interesting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
a bitch.
That's a great point. And also, it's like, how are they going to do? Because we already started talking about it, some of those forbidden door theories. Like, what are the matches going to be? We talked about Ospreay. We talked about Omega. That plays a lot into it. I think basically just because Hangman came back, I'm going to go. It could honestly go either way in this one. This is just going to be chaos. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but they're all going to hit their spots, but they're all going to do some crazy stuff. I think. I'm going to go with the happy end. I'm going to go with Warren. I think the Elite are going to win this one.
And you just brought up something really important, Rob. The fact that Hangman Page came back and the promo he cut last week was, we're the heart, we're the soul of this company. We built this. You know, this is ours. Let's be real, friends. AEW has been through tumultuous times recently. I think the Elite... the guys, right? Their name is the name of the company. I think we need to have a moment where the good guys, the you know what I mean, the good guys, the baby faces. I'm not taking sides here. We need the good guys need the win. The company needs a win here. We need to show everyone it's like, yeah, you know what? You all love All Elite Wrestling because of these guys, because of what they represent. Here we go. We've been through terrible things since last September, but now let the healing commence. Kind of thing.
Not if this is leading to blood and guts.
Well, that's another way of healing, you know. What did they call it? Bloodletting back in the, you know, in the old days.
Leg leeches and bloodletting. You get all the bad stuff out. Yeah, stuff you learn in history class when you're old.
Nope.
Watch too many movies.
That as well, my friend.
Nope. Main event time. That's right, Rob. See, I got through all of the matches besides the main event. I'm not forgetting a match, unlike Rob would, because, like I said, Rob is fired. Unless Bill's about to correct me.
No.
Yeah.
I'm good. I mean, they still might announce a match. I think they're going to actually keep them tight. I don't think they're going to go with the supersized cards anymore.
Good. I'd like to have a fun night out of Vegas after this pay-per-view is over.
As a 21-year-old, I don't think that show going late is going to stop you.
No, not.
As we're all falling, as the three of us are all falling asleep.
Brother, I can go for another 3 hours. I'm good.
Yeah.
Because you're old.
Correct.
You're all old
people.
Well,
I am. But yeah.
But the four people in this main event are not old. They're all pretty young.
Nice
except for
segue.
Sammy.
Nice segue.
I know. I'm learning. It's like I've learned something in Bodkin's journalism class or two. Well, I mean, Sammy's old because he's 29. That's kind of old. I wanted to see your reaction to that. But I will say that I will allude to MJF's promo where he talked about how 4 years ago nobody knew any of these guys. Now they're main eventing. That's such a feel-good story. But MJF is going to retain. He'll find some cheap way to win with his little diamond ring. Rob?
Yeah. Keeping it short and sweet, Kimmy. I appreciate that. I think you said it perfectly. I think this is MJF's match here. He has to win. I think the booking of, like, hey, let's book the four pillars in a match, that's cool, that makes sense, but the promos, like, MJF is lapping them on promo, and we knew he would, you know, you know, that's his thing. He's great on the mic. He's amazing. He is so good, even though he's, you know, the best heel or whatever, a great heel. He's so good at playing everyone and towing that line, whether it's in interviews or the promo. If he wants them to cheer, they're going to cheer. If he wants them to boo, they're going to boo. He's just great on the stick, as they say. And I just think some of the other guys, he's taking jabs at Jungle Boy tonight. Some of the things he said, the echo chamber and whatnot. I just think like Darby and Jungle Boy, maybe Sammy, I would say, is the best out of those three. Because Sammy, you can connect with a little bit more. Kimmy, you just mentioned it. But like, they all have good stories and good points. It's just, and parts of their promos have been really good. It's just not hitting. Maybe it's too many moving parts for a world championship match. I like the idea of the four pillars. It's probably going to be a really awesome match. I think that's good booking, but just the promos and the story, it's just like MJF is up here and they're all just kind of holding their own and they're hitting a little bit of emotions, but it's not like remember when, you know, Hangman Adam Page was going for the title and Bill talked about mental health and like how much like Adam Page meant to him. Like, we're kind of learning about these guys' stories, but I don't know if I'm necessarily connecting with them. Like Billy says, like, why damn them or why cheer for them? They're awesome, fun wrestlers, and I like hearing their promos and getting to know their story, but I don't know if I'm, like, maybe I'm a little bit more invested in Sammy because of the All Access show and him just trying to, like, you know, get his spot and get his opportunities and all that, but I don't see MJF losing here story-wise or for any reason. I guess I wish I connected to one of the three other guys a little bit more personally. I like all of them, but I just wish I'd be rooting for them a little bit more. And that being said, I just think MJF wins this one.
Warren.
Oh, do I have thoughts on all of this? But I'm going to spare you my extensive thoughts, because when I did my AEW preview show earlier this week with Jesse Collins from the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, shout out Jesse, we talked 30 minutes just on this specific match. So I'm not going to do this now, but anyone who knows my work knows that I absolutely hate multi-man matches for championships. So from the get-go, I thought this stunk. I do not like the build. I think it was all over the place. For the reasons Rob just said, you don't connect to the guys. And there's multiple reasons for that, because everything came across as weird. they decided to turn Sammy like twice in this build. He comes in like semi babyface, then gets heel again, and now he's a babyface. And babyface is the worst role for Sammy Guevara for me.
Oh yeah,
to be honest. Darby Allin, motivational speaker. Darby Allin, I don't care for that. Darby Allin is the weirdo guy, the suicidal. Well, you know, suicidal, not legitimately, but you know, he's the, you know, the guy who's,
he's
just
Sabu,
ready to do
death defying.
Yeah, exactly. He's the new Jeff Hardy, the new Sabu. That's what he does. And we've heard the car story multiple times. It's fine. I don't want Darby Allin. Like tonight, Darby Allin said, I want to be the face of the company. I'm like, Darby Allin wants to be the face of the company? Like Darby Allin saying, I love working here because I can jump cars over my house. And we're like, yeah, now that's a Darby Allin thing to say. I like working here because I can do stupid shit on the meantime, you know, on my off time. That makes sense to me. But so that didn't work. And I think Jungle Boy got exposed here that he has a lot of problems to overcome when it comes to his presentation, how he expresses himself. And it's weird that his father was an actor and that didn't come across. But, you know, look, that's a whole other discussion. MJF and MJF is MJF. There's absolutely no way he's losing the title here. Like, there's in no way, shape, or form. And I agree that the match will probably be amazing, because you know why? Because all these four guys hear everyone talking about this build, because that's more or less the consensus. No one really liked the build. Some people really hated it. Some people just didn't care for it. But finding pockets of people saying, I thought the build was great. I haven't seen it. So they hear this and they're going to be ready to prove us all wrong, to say, but I'm not expecting the match to stink. I just think the build stunk. I think the match is going to be, it has all the potential to be fantastic. And they're going to go all out to prove it, pun intended. They're really going to do everything that they can to make it fantastic. Like, I am so indifferent to it. And it is, you know, the third, fourth most interesting feud on this card. And it's the world title match, you know, like BCC and the Elite is absolutely the top thing. Jericho and Cole is way more interesting than this. I would even argue that Christian Cage and Wardlow is more interesting than this. I'm not feeling it. And I think ultimately the problem that came out of all of this is that all of these, the three non-champion pillars, I think they all got exposed as being guys who are not ready for the top spot. I think ultimately that's the problem. I think the only guy who maybe came out looking better in all of this is Darby, because I think Darby handled himself better on the microphone in all this build, but they should have just wrestled. They should have had a leaderboard, a scoreboard, where they're having matches every week, and whoever has the most matches by this point gets build a challenger, build one challenger, and then go for it. It feels like a placeholder for someone else. That's how I feel about it. But MJF retains.
I think this was an audacious experiment by Tony Khan, saying, you know what, it's time for us to. There was a Voices of Wrestling piece that said, is AEW leaning too much into older guys? And I didn't read it because my answer was no. Do you see this match? And also, have you seen any of the women who have titles? They are not old. I know they also said men, but I'm just saying. My problem with this is that I don't think everyone got exposed. So, and they did, but the problem was no one sat down and said, you're all saying the same thing. And so everyone, if you ever listened to any of the auditions or like interviews people talk about when they were doing promo class or tryouts for NXT in front of Dusty Rhodes, they were just, everyone's just like, here's my struggle. And instead there are other people who are just like, I'm going to just be a character. And those are the people that stood out. And not all of them had successful careers, but they stood out. Every single person that's in wrestling has struggled at some point. But there's ways to tell the story. Sammy Guevara, I shouldn't feel sympathy for you. You're a heel. And there is a way to tell his story. I thought the whole thing with the money and him being MJF's buddy, I think there could have been exploited even more until the final hour when Ty Mello comes in and it's like, they could even be saying, well, Ty's not returning my text. Why isn't she doing this? Why isn't she doing this? And she's finally like, she cuts the promo on him of, I am embarrassed that you're going for the money. If you don't go for the title, we're done. And then it puts the onus on Sammy. And then you have Sammy has the crisis of conscience. Jungle Boy, I hate exploiting this, but it makes sense. You make him Cody Rhodes. You have him talk about his dad and how much wrestling means to him, how much the title means to him, and how he has to win this to prove to everyone he didn't just get there because he's someone's famous son, blah, blah, blah. And they even started touching on certain things like, does he need to cheat to win? And they had him pull Rush's trunks. And Rush actually cut a promo, posted on Twitter, I appreciate you because you cheated to win. So now there's his crisis. And then Darby Allin is friggin' Darby Allin. He's got the built-in thing with MJF. So you didn't need to do all this. It's just like someone needed to edit this down and be like, you're saying the same thing. Stop saying the same thing. More wrestling, less talking. Let's go. The match is going to show out. MJF's going to win. To me, the heir apparent to the feud, it's Adam Cole. I said it before. Although that promo tonight, man, that certainly felt like a certain Filbert from Chicago was being referenced a lot. Because we brought the 2024 thing up again. And
the grievances suddenly return.
Oh,
yes.
I do appreciate Sean Ross Sapp's tweet that Kimmy sent me of. He said MJF does have a flight out of Las Vegas booked, of course, because everyone does. Which I thought was a nice little note there. But I do think it should be Adam Cole. Eventually, I do think Punk is the guy who takes the belt off him again, if that does happen.
And you touched a really interesting point, and I don't want to stretch this out. I know, you know, it's late in it, you know, people have flights to get to. In a promotion where you have like, and I don't mean to make the pun here, but elite level promo people, like some of the absolute best talkers in the history of professional wrestling are in this company, where they don't get scripted. It's more like, here are the bullet points. It's just, oh, go out there and do a thing. There are three of these four guys needed maybe a little more guidance. I'm not saying then you suddenly sit down and you get Sanjay Dutt to write you a script. That's not what I'm talking about. It's more like, okay, this week we're going to guide you through this. Okay. Like you said, they needed a little, I feel like they were just thrown into the deep end because they're like, hey, you guys are main eventers. Hey, look, you know, this is, we're the promo company, right? John Moxley, no one scripts anything for him. Look at what he does. Eddie Kingston, nobody scripts for him. Look what he does. MJF, so on and so forth. So I'm sure, convinced that they were, that the main problem here is that they weren't guided enough. They didn't, we weren't given enough direction into making their promos feel fresh, and they were mostly left to themselves, which I'm assuming is an overall attitude that you have in AEW, because no, there is no writer's room. There isn't someone giving you a script that you have to read off of memory. There's none of that. And I think it's a bummer, but it ended up failing out.
It's insane, Warren, because if you think of all three of those guys had Jericho, Sting, Christian backing them at one point, how are they not getting with those three guys?
I know.
Or them saying, just get with those guys, figure something out.
I know. And y'all are talking about Adam Cole being the next guy, but I am convinced CM Punk is showing up after this match, and they're lining it up for Double or Nothing, maybe even Wembley, because he still owes MJF. He owes MJF a match. He still owes him.
You're saying at this event, after the main, not the Chicago show, he shows up here.
He shows up here, and then they're going to start selling tickets for the Chicago show because MJF owes him. He owes MJF a match. I'm convinced this is where we're going.
Fully convinced?
What'd you say, Gammy?
Fully convinced? Oh, man. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm quite convinced.
Fully convinced?
Wrong, but I'm convinced.
Okay. I had to fix my whole thing.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm so that mean Punk gets the title back, or is he does the job for MJF?
No, I think he should. I think he does the job to MJF. I think that's the thing, because he had, if you remember, MJF when you know there was a whole thing, MJF walked out of the company, right? And then Phil had the title. Then they had the whole thing with John Moxley happen at that All Out, and then MJF came back as the Devil, right? Which was supposed to set up for Full Gear, and Punk won the match against Moxley. So it was supposed to be MJF versus Punk at Full Gear. And MJF was going to get the belt back. He was going to win the belt off of CM Punk, I should say. Not get the belt back, but win the belt off of CM Punk. But then CM Punk ate some muffins, said some things, threw some chairs. And next thing you know, we got John Moxley, John Moxley and MJF. So the Punk still owes MJF, a clean, flat on his back, looking up at the lights win. All right, I got you all thinking here. There you go. Adam Cole is going to come. Cole will be fine. But I don't think it's the next program. Wembley, All Out, especially if they do All Out the week after Wembley. There's one of those two that has to be a major, major event.
Kimmy, do you mind if I ask Warren a bonus question?
Sure. Go right ahead.
So what do you think when Goldberg shows up in AEW?
Was fun. Was nice. nice knowing y'all. We'll talk to you. Never!
Never? Damn, that's upsetting.
Can't even run a tractor properly. What do you expect them to do in the ring? If Jesus, can't even work the machinery on his own damn farm. What the hell?
That was so bad. I saw that picture. I was like, bro, what are you doing wrong here? I don't get it.
I thought the locker had come back to get him. That's what I thought.
Oh, man. That car window came back for him, but this time it's his face.
That's our podcast. Now it's our shameless promo time. Rob, why don't you go first and tell them all your fun, crazy things you do?
Listen to Warren's podcast, because that's where I get most of my information. It's really good. Seriously, listen to Warren's podcast, Mr. Warren Hayes, but also follow thepopbreak.com, where all y'all write some great stuff. Long weekend. I got another long weekend coming. Little wrestled out, I'm not going to lie, but seriously tired, but I had a ball picking your guys' brains and chatting with y'all tonight. Thank you guys for staying up. I love talking to y'all.
Bill, tell us all about the website I write for you on.
Yes, I am the editor-in-chief of thepopbreak.com. We've been doing this for 14 years. Check us out every single day. We're in concert season right now. Buddy, business is a booming. We just shot Blink-182 at the UBS. Got all sorts. That came to us like out of the blue, like at the last minute. So then there's all sorts of great stuff we're shooting this summer. Just go to The Pop Break. I'm also the co-host of Socially Distanced Podcast, which drops every single Friday on all your favorite streaming platforms. Right now, we're in our Indiana Jones review series. We're going into a Mission Impossible review series soon. And we talk about all the big movies, all the big shows. We'd be doing that. I am the Bill and the Bill versus the MCU podcast, which is on the Pop Break Today feed, where we are rewatching. I rewatched the MCU last year. This year, we're doing the Defender saga, and we're going to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And Quantumania for our next episode. I have a music podcast called Anchored in Asbury. Check that out on Pop Break today as well. But most importantly, follow the Pop Break on Instagram, Twitter, at the Pop Break.
Warren.
Mr. Warren Hayes Show is the name of my podcast. It has my name in it. And I record live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. And then there's the video on demand that's also available there. You can also listen to the Mr. Warren Hayes Show on your favorite podcast application, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. It's out there. Hey, even Amazon Music. Yeah, I'm even on there. That's pretty wild stuff. And I also do an AEW Dynamite review every Thursday. That is going to be out tomorrow at some point. So I always do it the day after. So that's going to be released tomorrow as well. And, you know, if you want to hear more previews about AEW, I already have my AEW Double or Nothing preview set up as well on the Mr. Warren Hayes Show podcast. So check it out. But most importantly, thank you so much once again for having me on. I always enjoy having the opportunity to pop onto the Kimmy Culture podcast. It's always a blast, and I'm always very appreciative when I get the invite. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's all about the KCP here, man.
That's all we're here for. We're not here for Rob. So I had to wait till midnight to do mine because today's a really, really special day, and I'm upset that I can't celebrate it with my dad. But today he's officially 12 years cancer free.
Wow. That's amazing. Hey, Mr. That's so awesome. Cool.
That's he's so sleeping, awesome. So good I can't him. Scream. But yeah, 12 years. I had to wait till midnight so I could give him the shout out because I promised him that. Since I'm not here all day because I'm going to Vegas in 6 hours. You can follow me on Twitter, Kimmy_Sokol. If that's okay. Well, usually it's my name, but I changed it because I'm counting down to my flight. Now it's convention season. It's, as Bill called it, oversaturated thing season. So in 2 weeks, I'll be in Jacksonville. I'm not even working this convention. I'm just going to go to Jacksonville because why the hell not? But if you're going, you can check out Funaki and Tony Storm and Juice Robinson and Haku and Kenta and Britt Baker and Soraya and a whole bunch of other people. So if you're in Jacksonville area, go check that out. Icons of Wrestling, July 1st. I'm working with Britt because I just need to work with Britt every opportunity I get. That's at the 2300 Arena. Nia Jax is going to be there. Sammy Guevara, Ty Conti, Lita, some other people. So go to iconswrestling.com to figure that out. Warriors of Wrestling's next event is June 10th. I won't be there because I'll be in Jacksonville, but I'm sure me and Rob are going to do commentary for it at some point in magic. Our hectic-ass schedule.
Yep.
Oh, you're running. Oof. That sucks. But, you know, we'll do it. And Diamante is going to be there. And it's at Fun Station. So if you're in Staten Island, check that out too. I do all things. I do a podcast on Ring of Honor, guys. It's called All Things Honor. It drops every Friday. Not this week because I'll be in Vegas, but you know, after that we'll be back to our regular schedule. I write on the Pop Break. I do lots of things and whatever Bill tells me to do. And I'm here yelling at Rob every month, which is so much fun. And when Rollins wins the title this Saturday, I will be screaming my lungs out on the strip, taking a drink, because my man, 4 years without heavyweight gold, he's bringing it back. And that's about it. Yay.
Oh, boy. Well, Kimmy, thank you so much for hosting, guys. Thanks, everyone, for staying up late. And, guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. Let's juke it out, guys. Here we go. Juke it out.
No.
All right. No. Yeah, there we go. No. You always don't know about we out. Peace.
Hello. I'd like to welcome you to Paris.